Time this morning, we can draw your attention to many other verses in this particular chapter, but for now, just verse 23, where the scripture reads, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If we're familiar with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, what we know to be true about this man is that he took on many different titles to the Lord's people. He even said so himself, if you'll remember in the 9th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, "And I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some." He said, "I became all things to all men." He said, "To the weak, I became as weak. To those who were without the law," of course he was saying not as a law, not without the law in the Christ, but without the law in their head, speaking of the Gentiles. He said, "I became as those that were without the law. To those who were of the circumcision, I became of those of the circumcision," meaning the Jews. He became what he needed to be to reach those that he was trying to lead in a way of life more perfectly. He became whatever he needed to be. He was one that was a admonisher. If you'll remember the book of Galatians, whenever he wrote into the church at Galatia, what did he say to them? He admonished them. He said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from he that hath called you into his grace unto another gospel." He said, "I marvel that you have moved so soon away from God's precious truth unto another gospel, for there be some that trouble you." He admonished that church. He said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed." He was an admonisher. He became whatever he needed to be in order to help those that he had an influence over. Well, here we read the Apostle Paul taking on a role that if the Lord will be with us this morning, I'd like to borrow one of his tactics, if you will. I know tactic is a term that's often used with something that's wrong, but it's not. It's something that the Apostle Paul used the blessings of God to be able to influence those that he was over, and that is to be a motivator. He was a motivator to those that needed encouragement. He was an encourager to those that needed encouraged in the midst of this wicked world. And one of the things that he's motivating them to do, one of the things that he's coaching them to do, that's what a coach is. He's one that instructs, he's one that motivates. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the weekly coach's press conference, and if I'm going somewhere, I don't make it a point to listen to it at the house, but if I'm in the car and I turn it on during the week, one of the questions that they always ask is, how do you think you're going to motivate the people this week? And I know to you and I that think that sports is just something that's fun, we're like, why do you have to motivate college kids to play a sport on Saturday? Shouldn't they just be already motivated? Why do you have to motivate a kid to play sports on Friday night? Shouldn't they already be pumped up to be able to do that? That's what enters into my mind. But if you're ever familiar with working with those groups, you know it takes some motivation. You know, the same question could be asked of us as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, as one that has done so much for us. And so as before we place that question on somebody else, the first thing we should do is, why should we, whenever one has done so much for us, have to be motivated? And that is because as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to need motivation. We're going to need encouragement. And he said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto the men. He said, you do it and you give your whole heart to it, is what the Apostle Paul was encouraging those at the church at Colossae to do. He said, you do it with all your heart. You know, the first thing I'd like for us to recognize is the Scripture teaches us to live life with your whole heart. With your whole heart. To live life with your whole heart. You know, have you ever heard somebody say whenever somebody passes away that they were full of life? They were full of life. They were full of life. You know, if you passed today, if you never arose in the morning, would that be what those who were near and dear to you would say about you, is that he was full of life. He enjoyed what God gave him here on this side of glory. He was full of life. You know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times people use that analogy to describe maybe the hippie lifestyle. You know, the everything is well and good no matter what's going on around. No, I'm not advocating that. That's not what I'm teaching today. I'm not advocating the all is happy and go lucky lifestyle that a hippie would promote. But nevertheless, the Scripture says for us to live life fully. Go with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes in the second chapter. Before we point out certain aspects of our life that we can live heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, let's go back to the Old Testament words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Whenever we read about living heartily unto the Lord, the Scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, there's four verses that I want to go to in Ecclesiastes to establish our point, because the wise man Solomon makes the point over and over again about what the Lord's goals is for those that live with him here in this world. You know, he says in verse 24, he said, there is nothing better for a man. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. He said, this also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. He said, there is nothing better for man than for these things. What is he telling you? He's saying to live life heartily and enjoy what the Lord has given you here in this world, to abound in your labors. In your labors. Notice he mentions labors. And if the Lord will be with us here in just a minute, I want to point out that one of those aspects of life that's mentioned in Colossians chapter 3 is work. Is work. Not only is there work mentioned, there's also family mentioned, there's also worship mentioned. And the Lord, through the mouthpiece of the Apostle Paul, is telling the children of God, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Give your whole heart to it. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing to the fullest. It's worth giving every ounce that you have to it. He says in verse 24, he said, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy in his good labor. No, that's not talking about whiskey. No, that's not talking about overdoing. That's not talking about an abundance. That's talking about enjoying the fruits of your labor that God has blessed you with here in this world. The Lord looks down upon a family that's seated at a supper table at night. Whenever a man and a woman have their children, or it may just be a man and a woman, that the children are not going out of the home, but he looks down upon them enjoying that which God has given them. And I believe he smiles. I believe he smiles. We sung a song this morning. The Lord smiles. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. The Lord smiles upon those efforts whenever we enjoy. Instead of, you're either doing one or two things. You may not be vocally doing one or two things, but you're either doing one or two things. You're either enjoying it or either you're grumbling about it. There's got to be one or the other path. You either got to be enjoying it, or you got to be grumbling about it. You may not be doing it vocally, and you say, well, I don't say anything to anybody. Well, you know, if you'll enjoy it, the Lord knows the thoughts and intents of your heart, even if you never say a word about how you enjoyed it, even though I think you'd do better to say how much you enjoy it and how good it is to you. The Lord knows. And He wants you to enjoy those things that He's given you. Go over with me to chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes in verse 12. He said, that I know that there is no good thing in them but for a man to rejoice and do good in this life, to live life to the fullest. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to God and not unto men. Verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know, there's scriptures that teach us about how to mourn in this life. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, is what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5. It doesn't mean that there's not times in this life when there's a time to mourn. It doesn't mean that there's not a time in this life whenever you have sorrow in your heart. But from a general point of view, from a majority of your life standpoint, the Lord is telling you to live life to the fullest and enjoy what He's given unto you. He says down in verse 22, to close out the point I hope to establish, He says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. You know, you and I, because we've been blessed to be able to understand what salvation by grace is, we know that that's not saying that the Lord is teaching us to rejoice in our own works because that's what gained heaven for us. No, that's not what He's saying. He's saying that you rejoice in how God blesses the labors of your hand here in this world. And He says, for that is His portion, for who shall bring Him to see what shall be after Him? The Lord is telling them, live life to the fullest. Enjoy what God has given you. How many times have you talked to somebody who's up in age and who knows that they're close to going home to be with their Lord, and they tell you it all goes by so quick? It all goes by so quick. Those of you who have had children grow up in your home and they're gone now, was that a long, drawn-out period of time, or does it seem like just yesterday whenever they were little old bitty things running around in the kitchen? It goes by just like that. I look back on the first 8 years of my son's life, it went by just like that. As a matter of fact, that sixth birthday of John Nathan's, it caught me a little off guard. I had to, you know, I used to think it was silly to see whenever people would get emotional whenever their children would have a birthday. I'd say, oh, what kind of foolishness is that? But all of a sudden, it just kind of, I mean, it was almost like a shock to me. All of a sudden, he's six. You know, where did it go? It just flew by. It's like a vapor. And I tell you, and the reason why is it's not going to get any slower when you enjoy it. But at least whenever you notice how fast this went by, you can look back upon it with joy in your heart, rejoicing at what the blessings that God has given you. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We're not here serving men. We're not here thanking men. We're here serving God and thanking God. He gave those blessings to you. Rejoice in them and walk in them and do it heartily. It means give your whole heart to it. You ever thought about the words of Hezekiah at the closing of his life, what the scripture says that the labors of Hezekiah did? I believe it's in 2 Chronicles 31. Go back with me. Let's read those two verses before we go back to Colossians chapter 3. The scripture says, speaking of Hezekiah, and oh, what a precious man this was to the people of God. What a faithful servant this king was to his father. He didn't blame his circumstances for that he had. He stepped up and served in the best circumstances that he had. He didn't blame anybody for what he had inherited. He did the best he could with that which was given unto him. But what does he say? What does the scripture say about this man towards the end of his life in verses 20 and 21 of 2 Chronicles 31? It said, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. You know, I know that we're not here under the premise and serving under the premise for only what man may say about us. But wouldn't it be nice to know that this is what people and God had to say about who you were here in this life? And that is that you were somebody who wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord your God. You know, if you do that, you're not always going to, not everybody in this world is always going to have a positive opinion about you if you do that. That's the reason why the Lord said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. You know, all men speak well of those who sometimes are men pleasers. But whenever you do that which is right in the eyes of God, he says that he wrought truth and that which was good in the eyes of the Lord. He says in the next verse, and every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. The scripture says that he did it heartily. He did it with all his heart. If you're called upon in this world to be a mother, if you're called upon in this world to be a daddy, if you're called upon in this world to be a child, if you're called upon in this world to be a deacon, if you're called in this world to preach the gospel, if you're called in this world to just simply take up a place on the pew, the scripture says that you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. As to the Lord and not to men. He's motivating them. You be this in the eyes of God. You be one that lays your whole heart on the line. Tell me, and I know I make a lot of sports analogies. I hope I'm not running anybody off with that. If you say, Brother Will, I can't handle another one, then tell me. I tell you what, though. I look back on my life growing up, and I had a preacher named Elder Woodrow Beasley. He was my pastor from the time that I was about 10 years old until the time that I moved off whenever I was 18. And if he stood in this pulpit, he might not be able to see over it. He was a short man who, even by his own admission, he says, people around town call me Boss Hogg. That's exactly what people around town consider me. But over and over again, every Sunday, he, being a farm boy, made farm analogies and preached farming into the congregation. And I remember as a child thinking, I can't handle another farm story. And I know I can't, I look back on it, I can't remember every one of them. But as the Lord has blessed me more and more to read his word, oh, how I wished I'd listened to those stories a little bit more. Because the Lord used farm stories, and what he was doing, he was showing the truth by using those analogies. And I tell you, the scripture says that it and uses those analogies unto him. So I pray that you'll bear with me. But speaking of giving your whole heart, isn't it good whenever you go and if you enjoy watching some type of sports to go out there and you can pick, sometimes it's just one on the field who's out there and he's given everything he's got. He's given it all he has. And you know, whenever the play ends, he's back there and he's almost crippled over while everybody else has still got energy because he's given it everything that he's had. I tell you, I enjoy watching that more than I would if I had tickets to sit right on the 50-yard line at the Atlanta Falcons game a lot of times and watch some of them loaf. I tell you, I don't care if it's just out here on the recreation league to see somebody give it all they've got. And I believe with every ounce of my being that that's the same way that the Lord looks upon his children as those who give it all they've got. And everything we've got was given us by God. And what you're doing is you're exercising every bit of good that God has given you. And he says, do it heartily. Do as Hezekiah did. The scripture says that he gave it all his heart. And what was the result? He prospered. He prospered. He prospered. Look at the things that he had to face. He faced a departing country. A people that had completely abandoned everything that God had given them. And he had to send out letters to them and saying, come back to the house of God. He faced abandonment to spiritual things, but the Lord blessed him to be able to handle those things. His scripture says he prospered in it. Does that mean that he won them all back? No. But it means that he prospered. That means in the eyes of God. That means if he saved some, he by all means saved some, then he prospered in the eyes of the Almighty God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, the scripture that we started with over in Colossians chapter 3 had three different contexts for us to consider things that we're supposed to do with our whole heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. It said, and we're going to go backwards, if you will, we're going to start with the verse that was right above it and go back up through the verses above it, because the first thing that he mentions is concerning our work, concerning our jobs. He uses the terminology servants. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I hear that, I automatically think of a slave. Whenever I hear the term servant, I automatically think of somebody that's not, maybe not getting paid for their services, if you will. But that's not the way that the Scripture uses this particular term in this context. It does not mean that if you are getting compensation for your labors, that this verse does not apply to you. That's not the way that the verse is applied. It's applied to somebody who has somebody that they answer to. You know, there's one thing that you can say for sure. I heard a missionary Baptist preacher say it one time, and I believe it to be true, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, is everybody's got somebody to answer to. Everybody. And you say, oh, I own my own business. I can tell you one thing. You may own your own business, but there's still one on the throne in heaven that you've still got to answer to. You know, he said, it doesn't matter if you don't have anybody to answer to here on this side. you still got somebody to answer to. The Scripture says that all shall be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. And no, I do not believe that to mean on the end of time. I believe that means daily we are brought before the judgment seat of the Almighty. And He looks upon those things that we do and judges us whether it be good or bad. But He says in verse 22, He says, servants. Speaking of those who work for somebody else. Servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. He makes sure to point out what master is under the context here. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In singleness of heart, fearing God. It says, obey your masters. I think most of us who are here have an occupation that we can relate to having people over us and telling us that we have to do A, B, C, and D, A, B, C, or D, or have things that we have to do here in this world. We got a job. Whether that job is providing for our retirement, whether that job is providing for the daily food on our table for our families, no matter what it's achieving, it's under the context here where the Lord is telling you to do it harder as to the Lord and not unto men. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. I said earlier, you're either doing something with joy or you're doing it with grumbling. If you were to take a survey of your last week on your job, what would be what you would come out with if somebody were to say, did you grumble more or did you rejoice more this past week in your daily job? Did you grumble more or did you rejoice more? Because the Scriptures here are saying that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And He puts our job under context. You know, a lot of people, every aspect of thinking about what they have to do from Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday or whatever days it is that they have to work, however it's intermingled there, is it's all negative. I tell you, do you enjoy working around people that have that sort of attitude? I want to tell you, if growing up on the farm taught me one thing, it's that you can make a fun situation out of just about anything that you're in. If you can be out there doing some of that type of work, and somehow make, you know, people talk about how fun it is to grow. I'm not talking about the fact that it's not work. I'm not saying that the things that we do, that the only way to make it fun is if it's not really work. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying that if you'll rejoice in it and look upon it as not something that just a man is telling you to do, but something that the Lord, in a position that the Lord has placed you in, you can do it with joy in your heart. He says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I tell you, I don't really enjoy being around people that grumble over and over and over again about their jobs. And there's a reason why they're not a joy to be around. It's because they're not taking the approach that the Scripture has told us to do about our occupations. He says that you give your whole heart to it. That you be, and when you give your whole heart to something, that means that you're dependable with it. You know, a minister of the gospel told me one time the best type of ability is dependability. And that means if somebody who's over you gives you something that they can check it off their list as being as good as done, that you're going to take care of it, they don't have to keep revisiting it over and over and over again. You know, that's one of the things that will drive a manager crazy. It's because he tells somebody to take care of something. Instead of them taking care of it, he has to go back, leave what he was supposed to be taking care of, and again and again and again go and make sure that it was checked off the list. Go and make sure it was taken care of. Do you think that somebody who's taking that approach is doing those things harder than you think they're just kind of haphazardly doing it? You know, another thing to think about whenever we're thinking about whether or not we're doing things as to the Lord and not unto men is to imagine, and you're not imagining something that's not true. You're imagining something that is true. And that is that the Lord is the one that's looking over your shoulder all day. You know, I was speaking a little bit earlier about a joy of working on the farm growing up. And there were times that you know, we were kind of left without the owner, if you will, right there watching over us. But you know, I tell you what, we could hear from about 2 miles away a car coming. Maybe not that far, but you get what I'm saying. We could hear a car coming, and we knew whether or not it was his truck or not. But nevertheless, and so everybody, no matter what we were doing at that time, buddy, they shaped in the form and fashion right then, right there. And I tell you what, if you and I are to continue to look as not just a man looking over us, but the Son of Man and God Almighty Himself as being the one that is watching us, you and I will shape and be in form at the snap of a finger and do it heartily as to the Lord and do what is called upon us to take care of here in this world. The Lord's blessed us to be able to be a people that have jobs, to be able to be people that can provide for our own. And it is a blessing from Him that we have those things. What should we do with them? Should we grumble with them? Or should we do it heartily to the Lord? I'll tell you today, the Lord has told us here in this aspect of our life, He's already told you to live life joyfully. And that means every aspect of your life, He's saying to live it joyfully, to rejoice in it, to praise God in it, and to walk with Him in it. The work is not an excuse. You know, a lot of people, people would somehow make a comment that they live for the weekends. And what are they doing? they're basically eliminating over half of their life. They're eliminating over half of their time. The Apostle Paul, again, over and over again, uses the term redeeming the time. That means taking advantage of the time that you have. If all you've got is 2 days out of seven, then you don't have much of a life. You don't have much redemption of the time that you have. But when you're doing things heartily as to the Lord and not to men, you can rejoice in those things. You can take on the task. You can, there's not a task that your master here in this life can give you that with the Lord's blessings that you can endure and have joy in it. And have joy in it. You know, he says the next part of our life that he touches on is our family. He touches on our family. Go back to verse, it starts in verse 18. And the scriptures mentions first the wives. If I just read through the verses 18 through 21, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." He's mentioned a portion of our life, our work life. Now he's mentioned another portion. Or he mentioned the other portion first. Again, we're going through this backwards. But I hope we're still looking upon it with the intention of the Apostle Paul whenever he penned it, even if we look at it in the backwards order of the verses. He mentions our families. He mentions our families. You know, one of the things that is discouraging a lot of times is whenever you run into people who would rather be away from their families than with them. I've met people like that. They look forward to the because it's something that was recently dealt with. They look forward to the employee retreat, if you will. They look forward to whatever time that they can get. If it's a conference for work, they'd rather load up and go to something like that than they would come home to their children. And I tell you, that's a sad state for somebody to be in. It's a good thing for us to rejoice in the blessings that the Lord has given us through our children. He said, "Except the Lord build the house," in the 127th Psalm. "They labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." That the fruit of the womb is His reward. Is His reward. What is He saying there? That children are a blessing from Me. In other words, having them and being blessed with them is a blessing from Me. And He says here, He outlines how we should be one to another, to do it heartily and not be grumpy about it. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as it is fit to the Lord." You know, we mentioned this last week in our feet washing service, that this is a commandment. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that the scripture says that Sarah committed herself and submitted herself to her husband to the point that she was willing to call him Lord. That she was willing to call him Lord. But yet here in this world that we live in, everything, every bit of this model that you see is in opposition to what this world would teach you about how to have joy here in this life. Whenever somebody teaches you about how to have joy here in this life, they don't teach you about keeping a smile on your face with that what you have to do week to week in your job. They don't teach you about this particular family model. The scripture here says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord, for it is fit to do that. He's teaching us here how to have a happy life. You know, if you want to go and pick up a bookshelf at any of the Christian bookstores, I guarantee you they're probably not going to give you this advice. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, this is how you have joy. This is how you have happiness in your life. You know, even though some people I'd argue because the life that they live shows me differently, I doubt that any of them would be willing to say that they don't want joy. You know, some of them may not be living at a way that if you look at them that you'd ever think that they wanted joy. But if you can honestly say this morning, I want joy in my life. I want to rejoice in the things of God in my life. Well, here it is. It said, wives, submit. I tell you what, I'm thankful that it says here that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. I'm thankful that it says as it is fit in the Lord, because that clearly shows me that if a husband is abusing this precious privilege that's been given unto him, it's not fit in the Lord anymore. You're not required to submit unto wickedness. You're not required to submit under nastiness. You're not required to submit under a willingness of a man that's not willing to be the spiritual leader of his family. You're no longer required to submit unto that. You're then required to submit yourselves unto the Lord only. The Scripture says that they, by the good conversation of their wives, may be won. You know, how can a wife who is submitting herself to the wickedness or to nastiness of a husband that's not willing to be the spiritual head of his family ever supposed to win their husbands by their good conversations if all they're doing is submitting to them? It doesn't mean that they're rebellious towards them. It means that they're just obedient towards God. He says here, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Give your whole heart to that, sisters. It's an admonition given by the Apostle Paul to give your whole heart to be this if you're a wife today. If you're not married, you should know this so that whenever that time comes around and you meet that person that you say, oh, and butterflies are flying up over his shoulders and hearts are coming up and dangling all behind him, is this somebody that I would like to submit myself to? I tell you what, I think a lot of mistakes would have been corrected if somebody would have thought, I've got to submit myself to him. Is this really who I'd like to be with for the rest of my life? And who I'd like to not only, that I'm not just so flattered by at the moment, but who I would be willing to submit myself to. I think a lot of mistakes could have been diverted, and a lot of trouble could have been avoided. Because somebody didn't consider not just that they were just quote unquote emotionally attached to somebody, but literally loved them and willing to submit themselves according to the word of God to this one who they're going to be companion with, and that they can have joy in their life. Do each and every one of us today wish this for each other? To have joy in our lives. You know, I don't think I'm as your pastor, I don't think I'm the only one that wants each and every one of you to have joy. And I believe we want that for life. I pray that you want that for one another. And that's what the Apostle Paul's laying out here. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, telling the husbands, love your wives. You know, I'm so thankful that the Primitive Baptists understand what love is. What is love? The Scripture, if you go and you read the whole chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, go read the whole chapter, and the same scriptural Greek word that's used for love there is used as charity in that particular verse. And what follows it each and every time, it is action. It is action. True love, biblical love, is action. It's not an emotion. It's got emotional ties to it, but it's not just emotion. The Scripture says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's saying, husbands, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. You know, I'm always real careful to tiptoe on women won't, men won't. Because some people will, you know, you'll be quick to wade off in some quicksand that you'll drown in right quick. And so if this doesn't apply to you, sisters, please apply the proper forgiveness that is spoken of just a few verses above here. But women want to be shown that they're loved. They don't want to just be told that they're loved. They want to be shown that they're loved. Men don't want to just be told, I'm submitting myself unto you. They want to be submitted unto as unto the Lord. These are things that men and women has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. These are things that they desire. Women desire to be shown that they're loved. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You're not just submitting yourself to your husband. You're not just loving your wife. You're doing this as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole point of the lesson is you're not just doing this to them. You're doing it to the Lord. You know, you'll remember in Matthew chapter 25, whenever the Scripture teaches us of the... It describes the setting of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It lays it out completely. It describes the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says unto us that when He shall come out of the sky, He'll put His sheep on His right hand and His goats on His left. And He'll say unto those on the right, He said, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was naked, you clothed me. He spoke unto those on His right hand saying that. And that, the Scripture says that they'll answer and say, when did we these things for thee? And He says, when you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. You know, I've often thought about that. Somebody told me one time that by using that verse, look at how many things are under the context whenever you're applying that verse. Whenever you're talking to your fellow brother and sister, and you got the urge within you to use that grumble voice to let them know just how angry you are, think for just a second that you're not just talking to them, you're talking to the Lord. The Scripture says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You're not just speaking unto men, you're speaking unto the Lord. He's clearly shown us that whenever we submit ourselves unto our husbands, we're not just submitting ourselves to a man, we're submitting ourselves to the Lord's way. Whenever we as husbands love our wives and show them with action that they're loved, we're not just doing it as unto men, we're submitting ourselves unto the Lord's way. We're showing that we love the Lord's way. The psalmist David said that, do not I love thy law, O Lord. He loved the Lord's ways. It's a blessed thing whenever the Lord's children can look at the ways of God and say, I love the Lord's way. That's the way that I love. I love the Lord's way. Whenever we can, we've all got a way. We've all got a way that we think is best. The Scripture says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We've all got a way that we like. And I tell you what, there's sometimes where it takes a mighty, mighty convincing fall flat on my face to convince me just how wrong I am. And I've failed there before. And I'm telling you, we've all got a way. But make no mistake about it, the Lord has got a way. And His way is right. His way is right. Not only does it mention about husbands and wives, it mentions about children. Children. We're all God's children, but it's talking here about little children. It says, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, I was pointed out to go and listen to a message a few weeks ago that Elder Wayne Peters preached up at Ringgold, at Friendship Primitive Baptist Church in Ringgold, concerning parenting. And you know, I walked away with a lot of bullets to fit in my gun that would match and that would work to conquer some of the challenges that I have in raising my children. I tell you, you know, the reason why we encourage to spend some time with one another as members of the church is because a lot of you who have raised children, you need to be voicing and speaking to those who are currently raising them. If you're not saying anything, you're not taking on your role as a good church member to help somebody who's in need. You need to speak up. And you need to do it lovingly in the way in which Scripture teaches us to do it. But you need to be willing to do it. You need to pray about the right time to do it. You know, Scripture tells us that there's not only good things that we do, it's got to be the right time to do it. Whenever you got a mama that's been battling one all morning long and has pure got sweat beating off her head, it's probably not the best time then. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's a proper time to say the right things that need to be said and that can be done to help somebody that's in need. And one of the things that he said is, you always hear parents these days giving the 1, 2, 3 count. And we give that around our house. Now, we're faithful at the end of 3. I thought if I was faithful at 3 to spank, that it was okay to do the 1, 2, 3. To do the 1, 2, 3. As long as I was faithful to follow that third up with a popping. Because I've seen a lot of people count to, I'm counting to 3, I'm counting to 10, I'm counting to 15, and then they still don't do it and they quit. You know, I thought to myself, if I'm strict enough to go to the 3 and they don't do it. But he gave an analogy of a child sticking their finger in an electrical outlet. How many counts have you got before they stick it in there and they're going to hurt themselves? How many counts have you got if they dash out in a parking lot in front of another car? How many counts are you going to give them not to do something like that? I'd venture to say it's probably better that if they don't do what you tell them to do right then, it's probably better to go ahead and give them a pop right then. And you know, it's something that's agreed to have to do at the time. But if you give it 5 minutes, it'll be something you're laughing about. It'll be something that you can laugh about if you do it in the right spirit and do it in the right way. And I tell you, the Scripture teaches us not only as parents to be able to do those things. It says, Father, provoke not your children's wrath. It speaks specifically to children, to be obedient children. You know, the Pharisees had a way. The Scripture says that those who were Pharisees says, whatsoever the parents are blessed to be able to have of them would just be, he called it reka, just be a gift. The Scripture teaches us to honor our fathers and mothers. We're all children of a father and a mother, except for those who have gone home to be with the Lord. And then you don't get to take on the title as being a father and a mother anymore, but it doesn't mean that the rest of us don't look up to somebody as a father and mother in this world. It says, be obedient children unto them. Be respectful to them. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. Obey your parents in all things. You know, I was thinking that, you know, a lot of people would make the charge that there's nothing if in a gospel message that is profitable unto children. Well, I tell you, here it is. You know, if there's somebody who you think needs to hear it, go make a copy of Brother Wayne's or copy this portion of this one. It'll be on the internet and hand them to them. Children, obey your parents. They know what is better for you. And you will do as they're telling you you're going to do. You're going to look back on this and realize that they're right. You know, we all have been kids and have said that. Whenever our parents said that, said, no, I won't. I will not look back and think that they are all right. I'm telling you right now, you look back and say, boy, they were right. They were right. I look back on ones who I didn't listen to for one reason or another. And maybe it was their fault that I didn't listen to it. But I look back and say that they were right. They had been through those things before and they were right. And I tell you, your parents, if they're being blessed by God, can lead you in the right way. Listen to them. He says, listen to them. He outlines the family. He says, fathers, of course, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Children can become discouraged here in this life. We ought to be encouragers of children, not discouragers of children. There's some things that they need to be discouraged from trying, but we don't need to be, as titles, discouragers. We need to be encouragers. And we need to do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men. Give your whole heart to it. He's saying, give your whole heart to your occupation. Give your whole heart to your family. He also mentions in Colossians chapter 3, if you'll go up with me to verse 16, he mentions worship. He mentions worship. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Of course, we could go to Ephesians chapter 5. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to establish that every time you read about singing in the New Testament church, it's not used in reference to music. It's used in reference to making melody with your heart. He's teaching us there the principle of worship is conducted with lively instruments. In other words, with our bodies. Present yourselves therefore a living sacrifice unto the Lord. He's charging you as living bodies. An instrument is dead. Except you go and you strum it, there's nothing there. There's no life in it. But because the Lord dwells in our hearts, there's life in us. And He says, you worship me with that life. He brings out worship under this context. He says, not only should your occupation, should your family, He says your worship should be done heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. It means give your whole heart to the worship service. Your whole heart to the worship service. You know, there's a lot of people who sometimes whenever somebody approached me not too long ago about an extended meeting, about the possibility of hosting a similar type meeting as an associational meeting, you know, a long weekend. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not saying that those things are never profitable. I'm just telling you that I don't know that my body can sustain them that often. And then I tried to make the example to him is I'm tired at the end of those. And I believe I'm tired, and I hope it's for the right reason. I'm tired because I pray it's because I'm giving everything I have to it. You know, a lot of people, it doesn't make them tired because they don't bring anything to it. They're as content when they get over with and not in need of any spiritual rest as anybody. But if you're giving your whole heart to it, a Sunday afternoon nap is sweet. A Sunday afternoon nap is sweet whenever you're giving your whole heart to it because there's labor involved in it. It's turning all your labor over to the work of the Lord through prayer, through study of the Word. He says, give your whole heart to the worship service, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Worship with all your heart. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory that stood before time itself and framed this world that we know of today, that hung on the cross 2,000 years ago so that we could live together with Him in Calvary. He deserves our whole heart here in this world. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. You know, there's some people that would say that I've got to break this up. If I'm going to give everything I've got to the service of God, then my family's going to have to do without, and my work's going to have to do without. That's not what the Apostle Paul said here. He said there's some things that most of the children of God, and I'd argue all of them at some stage in their life, there's things that we all face. We have to work for a living, we've got a family, and we ought to be worshiping. And he says, you do them all wholeheartedly. Give it all you got. Give it all you got. And watch the Lord bless you for doing that. The scripture says Hezekiah did it and he prospered. You know, we don't teach here a health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine. No, I'm not telling you that you do this, that you're going to be able to pay off every note that you've got at the bank, that you're going to be able to drive a new car every year. That's not what I'm telling you. That's not the type of prosperity that the scripture speaks of. There's nothing wrong with it, but it doesn't mean that it's going to come to each and every one of us. But I'm telling you, there's prosperity to be had with your blessings from above. If you'll give your whole heart to those three things, to your job, to your family, and to your worship. You know, worship is vital. You look back at the origins of worship. You know, not only did the Lord tell Moses in the mount that thou shalt worship the Lord God and Him only shalt thou serve. A lot of people go back and see worship. They'll say worship started whenever the Lord gave the law. No. Worship was around a long time before the Lord gave the law. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul uses that Abraham example every time. A lot of people say, why do they always go back to Abraham? Because Abraham was before the law. And what does the scripture say that Abraham told those before he took his son up on that mount? He said, y'all wait here while we go up to worship. That shows me that Abraham was a worshiping man. That showed me that if he was willing to do what he was about to do that day, that if we'll give our whole heart to the Lord. The scripture says that he saw the Lord, that he saw the Lord's day in that occasion, and that he rejoiced and was glad in it. And I tell you, you and I can do the same thing in our lives. If we'll allow the Apostle Paul to motivate us as he was motivating those New Testament saints then. He said, you do these three things and you watch the Lord's blessings upon you. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
I need thee every hour, most precious soul. No tender voice like thine can be I Oh, bless me now, my Savior.